I need to start out with a quick spoiler alert. This sermon has a lot of movie references in it, so just to warn you, we've got spoilers for both Wonder Woman and the movie Moana, as well as the telecast of the 1954 Broadway version of Peter Pan. So if you haven't seen that one yet, be warned. I'm going to tell you what happens. But I assume you've had enough time to get that taken care of if you wanted to. One of my fondest childhood memories is watching Peter Pan with Mary Martin and Cyril Richard. My family would sing along with every song, and we always clapped for Tinkerbell. Still do. You may recall that the whole plot is kicked off by an incident with Peter's shadow, which gets separated from his body and then gets into trouble. Of course, we know this is fiction. A shadow is neither separate from us nor able to exist on its own. But the figurative shadow that Jung describes is the same as our physical shadow. That we human beings tend to spend a great deal of time trying to prove that it's not. Carl Jung's conceptualization of the shadow is the most common understanding of the idea that there is a part of ourself that we deny or avoid. Much of Jung's body of work involves encouraging people toward what he calls individuation. Individuation is the manner in which one thing is understood as separate from another, whether it's a parent and child, or in this case, part of the process of psychological integration. According to Jung, in general, individuation is the process by which individual beings are formed and differentiated from other human beings. In particular, it is the development of the psychological individual as a being distinct from the general collective psychology. In literature, we see this idea enacted in the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. In this extreme example, Mr. Hyde embodies all of the qualities that timid Dr. Jekyll finds himself unable to access. Some of these qualities are positive and some are negative, but the fundamental truth in the story is that the two cannot exist as separate beings. Let me give you a slightly less dramatic example. Perhaps you are a very competitive person. This competitiveness may have caused you stress and strife in your life because when you allow it to rule your actions without intent, you can be seen as bossy, aggressive, or inflexible. The more you pretend you aren't competitive, the more you struggle, and the more that bossiness, aggression, and inflexibility comes out anyway. But actually, if you own and try to integrate that competitiveness, understanding that it can either serve your purposes or detract from them, you can channel it and use it in constructive ways. When I served as a chaplain, my supervisor spent colossal amounts of time drilling into us his assertion that our strengths and our weaknesses are two sides of the same coin. This was frustrating to me, to all of us in the group, I think, as wisdom teachings often are. But the more time passes, the more I hear his quiet voice in my ear, reminding me that my strengths can drag me down, and my weaknesses can be a fundamental part of my success. And so I strive every day to understand both my strengths and my weaknesses so that I can use them both in service to my larger goals. For example, when I originally took the Myers-Briggs personality test, I scored high as an extrovert. As time passed, and particularly after I had begun my seminary studies, I took it again, and my score had shifted more toward the introverted side of the scale and has remained so, even scooching further over into that I side. Through self-reflection and discussion with mentors and colleagues, I discovered that my fundamental orientation is introverted. Though I am still closer to the middle than to the far edge, I am highly able to adapt to my surroundings. But in my younger life, my subconscious learned that introversion is not rewarded or encouraged, so I learned to present as an extrovert. I imagine I'm not the only one in this room who's had that experience. Now that I'm in recovery from my early addiction to people-pleasing, I am able to allow those introverted tendencies and the extroverted tendencies to coexist. When I do that, they both serve me better. I'm able to be more flexible and more present to my surroundings. On Sunday mornings, you will likely experience me as very extroverted. And then the minute I leave here, I will go home and I will take the much vaunted and looked forward to preacher's nap. The central plot point in the movie Moana concerns the heart of Te Fiti, an earth goddess figure who has disappeared since her heart was stolen many years ago. Moana's task throughout the movie is to return the heart, because without Te Fiti's blessings of rain and fertile land, both the island and Moana's people who live on the island will die. She follows that classic Joseph Campbell arc, and her hero's journey is fraught with obstacles. When she finally reaches the place where Te Fiti's heart is to be restored, she meets Teka, a frightening and seemingly insurmountable lava monster. It isn't until Moana really looks at the lava monster and sees the lava monster that she realizes, as nobody else has been able to see, that Teka and Te Fiti are one and the same. Teka is the part of Te Fiti that was released when her heart was removed. Teka is the shadow of Te Fiti. I think of Te Fiti's heart as her true self. When our true self is removed, or when our humanity is not acknowledged, we become cut off from our generative self, withdrawn, angry, or volatile. We have our own lava monster inside. As Jung says, the shadow is the door to our individuality, and personal growth is stalled when we do not acknowledge it. For Te Fiti and Teka, literal growth is stalled. But for the psychological journey, our personal psychological growth is stalled. In the story, Te Fiti had no agency. She was left at the mercy of beings outside of herself to see and know what she needed to be whole. In the case of ourselves, our experience as human beings, we have our own agency. We each have the ability to act on our own behalf. The shadow exists not only in our personal self, in our personal work, but also in the larger systems that surround and include us. For example, I see our current fractured political situation as the embodiment of America's shadow side. I see the rise of mass shootings and terrorism as the embodiment of a shadow side as well. When a whole country is socialized to pretend that racism, income inequality, and bigotry don't exist, we are refusing to acknowledge our collective shadow. the two-party system has a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on, if you ask me. It is common for the larger culture to dehumanize both individuals and groups, and we see this time and time again as more programs are cut and more laws limiting personal freedoms are passed. We also know from systems thinking that a body made up of humans will resist change at all costs. If a part of the system tries to break out of the status quo and shift into a different way of being, the system will work overtime to correct the change and return to stasis. That's true for our families, it's true for our congregations, and it's true for most other systems that are made up of emotional beings. So in this country, we have an unacknowledged shadow side. To grossly oversimplify, it is the story that began with the enslavement of Africans and the genocide of indigenous people. This is the fundamental challenge of shadow work. Rarely are the people impacted by the shadow the ones who created it. But nonetheless, we must work to integrate. This is true for our organizations, it's true for our larger system of the country, and it is true for ourselves. Often, it is our ancestors, our parents, our relationships that create the conditions in which we push aside our shadow. But nonetheless, we as individuals, we as the people alive today, are responsible for processing, understanding, and integrating that painful history, whether it's personal history or corporate history. The more we allow the denial and erasure of the experience of people of color in this national example, the more the confusion and anger will grow. Because denial of the true roots of our collective wound does two things. First, it negates the lived experience of marginalized people, which makes it harder for them to integrate their own shadows. At the same time, it allows people who are not marginalized to place blame externally, which causes a fundamental disconnect in their experience of the world. It places all the rage and fear and hurt into the Mr. Hyde persona, while Dr. Jekyll remains quiet and complacent and unable to act. We did not create the shadow, but we are living with it. We are living in it. And we still have to work together to integrate it. We did not create it, but we can own it. And if we own it, we are one step closer to transforming it. The way I read Jung, it is precisely our disconnection from that shadow side that causes suffering. The more we pretend and insist that we are only the sum of our good qualities, the more we seek to separate from one another. And the more we separate from one another, the more we see acts of evil creeping into our collective experience. For us as Unitarian Universalists, the question is not why does suffering happen, but how do we interact with the fact that it does? Now, that's a whole other sermon, and we'll go there in a couple of months. But for the purposes of this sermon, we are wondering, what does it mean to be human and to have the capacity for both good and evil within us? Evil and suffering were not created by an outside force as punishment, and that means that we are the ones who create it for each other. The excerpt from that Wonder Woman movie that Lisa read articulates this bent. Diana's character arc involves an extended process of focus on the god Ares as the source of evil and conflict between humans. If she can vanquish Ares, then all wars and fighting will instantaneously cease. But as it turns out, this isn't the case. Ares is not the cause of our conflict. He just stirred the pot. Humans were the cause of the conflict. As Diana says, I used to want to save the world, to end war and bring peace to humankind. But then I glimpsed the darkness that lives within their light. I learned that inside every one of them there will always be both. I've seen the terrible things people do to each other in the name of hatred and the lengths they will go to for love. As with many religious and spiritual concepts, this has implications for us as individuals and for our communities and groups. As individuals, when we claim and engage our wholeness, the parts of us that are hard to accept, as well as the parts we are comfortable putting out there, we move closer to emotional health. And emotional health of individuals is one of the bricks that make up the foundation of a just society. As so often happens, that statement reveals a chicken or the egg situation. Does a just society encourage emotional health? Yes. Does emotional health impact the larger system? Yes. Each person has a need to be seen, to be held, and to be supported in their personal growth and development. When we are not allowed to accomplish these goals, it is as if our heart has been stolen. The larger system around us is stealing the heart of so many. We try so hard to mitigate and change this with our work for justice. So it is our job to find the courage to own our own personal shadows, to understand where they come from and how we interact with them. The more we participate in our own individuation and work toward inhabiting our own selves, the easier it is to remember that our strengths and our weaknesses are inextricably linked. The more we as individuals are able to integrate the complexity of our own experiences, the more we are able to empathize with the complex experiences of others. And the more we can empathize, the more we are able to make decisions and build relationships that serve the good of the whole. The more we are able to own the complexity of our individual and collective stories. We didn't create this shadow, but we do own it. And so let us work together to integrate it. May it be so.